Hey guys, listen up. If your idea of skincare is rinsing your face with whatever's left from your shampoo, it really is time to upgrade. I want to tell you about the new men's line from Arrow Acres. It's made for guys who want real results without all the extra ingredients. Their products are clean, simple, and incredibly effective. From tallow balm that actually heals dry skin to hand-poured soaps that leave you smelling fresh and not floral. If you need a bug spray that works and doesn't leave you smelling like chemicals as well, they've got that. They've got lip balm and scrubs that are simple, no nonsense, and they're made with real ingredients that your skin actually wants. So if you're chopping wood, hitting the gym, or if you just want to stop stealing your wife's moisturizer and not telling anybody about it, well then they have your back. You can check out their full men's line by following the link in the show notes or on Instagram at Arrow Acres Homestead. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are having a good day today. I'm looking forward to talking to a buddy of mine that has not been on the show before. You've not been on this show before. Okay. Looking forward to this conversation. We're live recording at the church building. I'm talking to my buddy, Garrett Bros. Garrett, how's it going, man?
It's doing good.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
We'll have you tell us a little bit about yourself here in a minute. Let's run and pray.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
So, yeah.
Father, we just thank you for this time. I ask for blessing upon this conversation. Pray for the guys that are listening in that they'd be encouraged. Garrett's got a lot of cool things going on, and even what he's doing and telling people about you and just doing a lot of great things. God, I pray that'd be an encouragement to people who end up following him. And I just thank you for this opportunity. Just ask that it would be honoring to you, and Holy Spirit, just lead us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, man. Garrett Gross, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are and what you do, and I know you do a lot of different things.
Yeah,
sure. Tell us about yourself.
I'm originally from Ducoin, just turned 37 in August.
37.
Yeah.
40's
yeah.
coming.
Man, I feel the best that I ever have, though.
That's really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, most of my life I used, so I don't know what it would feel like to be 25 and sober.
Right.
But three kids, 13, 8, 6, fought professionally for 15 years, retired last year. I won the middleweight championship in Missouri, called it in the cage.
What do you mean you called it?
I retired. So after I won that belt, I'm like, I'm out.
I'm done.
You know, yeah, yeah.
You feel confident in that? Or do you ever want
to
go back?
Oh, I mean, I definitely have desire, like, just to be a competitor. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to compete. But as a professional fighter, for me at this point, there's no reward for the risk, mm-hmm. right? So being 37, like, even though I do feel the best that I've ever felt, I could win my next six in a row and nothing's going to happen.
Because your age.
Yeah, because of my age.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
There's, okay.
I'm not going to get signed with anybody that would make a difference, like, in my life or anybody else's life. It'd be
more for fun rather than
money. Yeah, I mean, it'd be a hobby, but also, like, the being a hobbyist, like, if you're going to do something, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. So if I'm kind of just, like, training once a week, you can't do that. With your priorities change, you know?
Okay.
So.
Well, when Garrett says he's been fighting for all these years, like, he was on, is here in Bellator.
I was a 2-1 Bellator. I was on the Contender Series, UFC Contender Series, fighting for a contract.
Okay.
And lost, broke my jaw in that fight, which was interesting.
Well, the guy that you lost to, he ended up having a pretty good career, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he still fighting?
I don't know. I still follow, but not, I'm so busy.
Right.
That it's hard for me to even, I don't even have Wi-Fi in my house.
Yeah,
because it's like, I'm there to sleep, you know what I mean? So, I don't watch the fights as much anymore, nothing like that. I'm still interested in them. I just don't have time to.
Well, between being a dad.
Yeah, sure.
And then being all over the place doing what you do, it's just a lot.
Sure.
And I guess if you're fighting, you kind of have to train full time.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I say, like, whether you eat or drink, like, do it for the glory of God. So, like, if I'm going to do something, I need to try to, like, how do you balance that thing out and glorify him correctly?
Right.
You know? And if you get to that point, you're 37, like, that's not your time to.
Well, how did you do that before? Did you, like, for money, was it sponsors? How did they, like,
so it was some of the guys like that are being brought up, you know, most of the time they're like high collegiate wrestlers or something like that, where a guy's being brought into a camp specifically. You're going to have sponsors that kind of, or the gym that kind of takes care of them.
Right.
For me, it was just really a dream. I did have some sponsors. I had saved some money, and I did fight full time for I think four or five years when I lived in South Florida at an American Top Team. But it was a lot of trial and error.
Right.
And they're going to pay attention to the guys that bring in money there or the guys that they're building. I was more of, they were using me to build their guys.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I think I went 4-2 at American Top Team, but also I had the pressure of, well, I need to take a fight so that I do have money, you know? So I fought whoever they asked me to.
Right.
Now, to a degree, I think that should be the case, but from a business perspective, you can't do that anymore.
Well, like a lot of guys will fight to build a...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So I think I was like 3-1 and went to Brazil and fought a guy that was 35-10.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, right. That's not evenly, but I mean, I'll fight you. But from a business side of building your record to get where you want to get, it's not a smart...
So they had their guys down there that they were wanting to build up and promote.
Yeah, a lot of the guys that you would see on TV now, like Dustin Poirier, Colby Covington,
yeah,
Jorge Masvidal. Like, I was in all those guys' camps.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're saying camp, you're helping those guys be trained and ready to fight the next...
Yeah, for their title, preparing for their next fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. And then taking a fight here and there on the side. Not on the side, but for yourself.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, so you did that. And then it's fun watching your Instagram because with the kids too. And I know your kids.
Sure.
It's cool seeing what you're doing with them because you're training them up in that as well.
Right.
I mean, when they're 15 years old, I wouldn't want to mess with a gross kid when I'm when they're like 15.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have their stuff down, right. You know?
Yeah.
So it's cool watching that. But so you have that going on, but then I see all of you chasing alligators.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
Also, I see you ride around too, where like these sexual predators are going to, they're not getting hanged publicly, which should happen, but they are going to prison. And you got your things going on with that as well. Yeah. So you're doing wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah, sure.
And traveling a lot, seems like too.
Yeah.
So how did that stuff all happen? Because you've been chasing snakes and alligators and that forever.
Yeah.
And I did pick up my first snake. Nice.
I think you sent me a video.
Did I send a video of that? Like, here you go, Garrett. I mean, it was like 6 inches, eight inches long, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it was.
Hey, it's a start. That's how I started.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I started. So I'm from DuCoin, so they had the pretty nice fairgrounds there.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid, my uncle sometimes would pick me up and get me McDonald's, and then we'd drive through the fairgrounds. Well, he was driving through the fairgrounds, and we pulled over, and he was like, he was pointing out a baby turtle that was on a log, and he kept saying, you see it? You see it? And I never saw it. Well, he gets out and like kind of sneaks up along the bank and ends up jumping in like to his knees, and he comes back with this baby turtle.
Okay.
That was it. That was it for me. And so I would go every summer. I would take my bike in the morning, almost every day that my dad would let me. And I would leave my bike at the front of the fairgrounds, and I would just walk around the ponds all day and catch snakes and turtles.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like one of those things that a lot of it was some type of thrill.
Okay. Right.
So there was some type of adrenaline that made me,
Which you've always been like a high adrenaline kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah. So then I just progressed over time.
Okay.
You know, it was like a red-eared slider and then a snapping turtle and then, you know, started with water snakes and then it was a copperhead. Like, so it's just progressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So into the gators.
You do the alligator stuff just a little bit. But all right. So DuCoin, legendary sports town. You played a lot of sports.
Yeah.
Football, basketball.
Right.
What else?
Track.
Baseball too? Track too?
Track, yeah.
So you played that.
Played baseball until high school.
You could have played college basically with all those. Did you play college football?
I was getting recruited by everybody for football, but I went to a rehab my senior year for cocaine.
Okay.
So that was pretty much taken off. I did go to McKendree, but ended up just going right back into the same type.
Was that the same year? Was Taylor Perry at McKendree at that time? Was that where you went?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It may have been. It was like 2000.
He's 37 or 38, I think.
Yeah.
He's like close to your age.
Yeah. I think he was a senior when I was a sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I played against him in high school.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how long he was at McKendree. I don't remember him being there, but it's not to say that he wasn't. I was at a total different time in my life. I don't remember a lot.
Was Nick Hill a senior when you were a freshman then?
No, he was out of school.
He was out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was like Reed Bastion, Jordan Campanella. Those guys were seniors when I was a freshman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So the intensive, you brought back a turtle one year. I remember a little turtle.
Yeah.
But every year we go on the trip, your name gets brought up because you and Justin were, we go on this trip in May and somehow it was unseasonably cold. And May here, it could be 90 degrees or it could be 55. Yeah. And that weekend, it was like
50. Dude, it was miserable.
It was freezing cold. There was no sun. It rained and it was like flood zone at the rivers. And we just remember we were laughing about it because you had all your clothes on because you were cold.
Yeah.
And then within first like 100 yards.
Fell in.
You guys are
tipped over. Yes.
Just soaked.
Yeah.
The rest of it freezing cold.
No, it was bad. And then like there was nobody else on the river at all. Because remember the day before that they wouldn't let us float. The next day they're like, okay, well, we guess we'll let you go. And then I remember like just getting on, floating a while and not seeing one other person. It's just our
group. Line.
At that point, like we probably should have known like something's not right. And then we went under a bridge and there was a guy standing on top watching us with his hat over his heart. He knew he must have been a local. He's like, these guys are dying today. Well,
we all had, because Andy was in my boat, we all had I think that issue was like 20 guys that went.
Yeah.
And there was 14 or 16 of us that legitimately thought we were in near death experiences, that getting dragged under the water.
Yeah.
A couple guys that lost boats.
Yeah.
And a couple of
cruisers.
Yeah. Went under. His buddy Eric went under. Yeah. A couple of those guys. I don't know if Cruiser's been back on the water since. Traumatized for life. Yeah. It's funny because some guys react like that and they're like, I'm done. I'm never getting on the water again. And other guys, like my buddy Mark over at, and he'll listen to this and text me as soon as he hears it. But he's like, this is the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
Like I almost died.
Yeah.
Can't wait to tell everybody about it. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And these guys react different.
Yeah. You know? Sure.
But so you've been walking with the Lord now for, you've had ups and downs like all of us have, but tell us about when you became a Christian and when, God got a hold of you.
Man, to be honest with you, I'm a little conflicted on when, which it doesn't matter now, I'm saved now, but it was around 2014 when I was baptized. My life, you know, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work will bring it to completion. So I can look back on that and see that, some of my life was changing. Like there was a process of good works, right? But really, I don't know if it was then and it was just in that process or when I got sober. Because when I got sober, it was like, it was night and day. Just my relationship with sin changed because of, you know, alcohol and drugs and the effects, like how just that sin there can cause you to just go into other avenues of it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So my whole thought process changed when I got sober, which I'm going on February. It'll be 3 years for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was true because just knowing you, when you were doing well, you're doing really well.
Sure.
Things are going great. Right. And it's just so clear, man, God's got his hand on your life.
Yeah.
Not only that, you have this ability to, not just online, but you have this gravitas where people just, you walk into the room and people want to get to know you. You have influence over people.
Sure.
You just do.
And it's all, you know, that it's that you say that because it's been like that since I was a kid. And I think that God gives us gifts and we either use them for his purpose or not his purpose, right? And majority of my life, I used them for the wrong side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So by the grace of God now, you know, I'm able to see that. But I think I don't think that you can be the person that God's created you to be if you're not sober.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying you can't drink or whatever. Obviously some things you shouldn't do. I mean, you shouldn't do cocaine. You know what I mean? But there's obviously also all types of warnings throughout the scriptures, specifically Proverbs, about alcohol and how easy it is to fall into that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Most people, I do know some people that, you know, can have a few drinks and be cool, but I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And most of the people that I know aren't, even though they say they are, you know?
When you're talking to guys that have dealt with addiction, I say dealt because addiction, I think you'd say this, addiction doesn't happen to you. It's a series of choices. And certainly there are propensities, I think, from generation to generation or I don't know your family history or anything, but I think there are propensities that people have towards sin, but it's still, alcoholism, drug use doesn't happen to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But people that are in it, how, when you're talking to them, how has God used you to help them? Have you found it easy to talk with guys that are dealing with that and help them, or some people you feel like, man, they're just not to the bottom yet? What is it that
sometimes it's like it's difficult. And the reason I say that is because you kind of apply it to your own works in some degree, as in like, I have to do this, I have to do this, I need to do these things, but you're not going to change. I do think like some people want to change and that it is hard. Like I don't think that I ever had a physical dependency, you know, where I felt like I needed it. I just wanted it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, some of that can correlate probably, but my testimony is wild, and it's, I don't have any other answer than Christ. Right. Okay. So I knew, over time, like I progressively got better, and I said in, you know, quotations, because I used less frequent.
Okay.
I still did the things that I needed to do per se, as in I went to work every day. I went to the gym, you know, I paid my bills, those type of things.
Right.
But I didn't know until I got sober, like actually how much it affected me, you know, because even if I use on a
flight. Just even like clarity of mind.
Life
is different.
Yes, 100%. Not even like, it's not even, it's so night and day.
Okay.
And, you know, I would use on a Friday and then not feel normal until a Wednesday. And then generally, like I did it every Friday, you know? And then when I got sober, I'm like, why didn't I do this a long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I was, when I got sober, I was, I knew that, I know I was in church. I was meeting with the pastor every week. Like I prayed about it. You know, I knew that it was what I should do, but I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Right. Like I knew that. I wasn't obedient in, I don't know how much of an effort I actually made to actually stop, because I felt like I was okay. You know, I wasn't going out and doing the stuff that I used to do. You know what I mean? And I went to Nashville, Tennessee, which is the very last time that I used. And I used cocaine till about 6 a.m. I drank till about 6 a.m., ran out of drugs, felt not good, went to a parking lot, wasn't going to drive home because I had a 2-hour drive to Chattanooga, pulled in a parking lot and just sat there for like 4 hours, you know, because I was trying to go to sleep and I couldn't go to sleep. And I woke up, I finally fell asleep, and I woke up a few hours later, and the first thing in my head was, I'm done. I'm done.
Wow.
And it was like, I felt, it was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like, it was different. Like I felt like it was true. Uh-huh. And not like, not saying like, oh yeah, I'm done, which I've said a hundred times before. And I did believe it at the time, right?
Right.
And fell back into the thing, but it was not the same. It was not the same. And I sold drugs then, and I sold drugs. I used drugs, used alcohol that day. It was the last time I drank. It was the last time I used drugs. It was the last time I sold drugs.
That's awesome.
And it was like, I had a bottle of tequila. It was the last bottle that I drank from. Not the last bottle that I obviously went out that night and drank at like bars and stuff like that. It was the last bottle that I had at my house that I drank from. And I was, you know, before I moved back, I was there for almost another 2 years before I moved back to Illinois. And I would open the fridge and that bottle was right there. And I never moved it, and it made me feel like I wanted to throw up every time I saw
really?
It. Yeah, it made me sick, and it, like, I really do hate it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I have no desire to drink or use drugs.
Well, it's awesome because
theologically,
during this whole time, you'd be listening to Paul Washer, listening to good sermons, listening to good stuff,
right?
And then this other stuff that you had in your life.
Sure.
And then to see 3 years, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know it'd been that long. But
yeah. Well, 3 years in February. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. That's all. God did it all. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I say, like, the worst thing, that we apply it to the worst stuff. Because sometimes I feel like I need to say, like, well, man, I did these steps and I did this and I did that. I didn't.
Well, you know,
you know what I'm saying? I didn't.
For 10 years, I looked at pornography from when I was like 14 to 24.
Yeah.
And I, in college, got accountability and all this kind of stuff. And something happened where it's same kind of thing, where it was just like a switch that flipped and it was done.
Yeah.
So it's 17 years of no pornography. And it was just like it was just done. Walked away from it. And it wasn't like there's not like a how-to manual that
sure.
made it stop. It right. just God did something.
Yeah.
And I've wondered why, because
yeah, same.
People pray. I've wondered why at any given time
right.
where there isn't that switch that just
Yeah, for other people.
For people.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I agree.
And it's some things and seasons are battles for a longer time. And I don't know, it's just a it's not like it really isn't. It's secret things belong to God.
Sure.
Kind of thing.
Deuteronomy.
That's right. Yeah. And so I don't really know, but when it happens, thank God for it.
Yeah.
You know, when that,
yeah.
that switch gets flipped yeah. like that. Praise God. And not looking back, I heard somewhere, I don't know if it's true or not, maybe you've, as you've looked at this over the years, but I've heard if people can make it, like there's percentages, if you make it a year, then this many people stay sober the rest of their life. If you make
yeah.
it 2 years, and I've heard that 2 years is a threshold, that if you make it 2 years, then like 90% of people or something, I don't know
right.
exactly, then they remain sober the rest of their life.
Sure.
And there's like that threshold there. So
yeah.
even if it's
right.
three, you've made it to that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's good too, just knowing your, like you know yourself, where you get through that and you're walking in sobriety, but you still know, well, I, you know, just drinking in moderation is just never a wise decision
sure.
for me.
Kind yeah. of thing.
I think that's wise too, because I don't think, I think especially in like reform culture, especially you get in a conventional yeah. Baptist and Presbyterian world, alcohol isn't an issue for, I mean, nobody has a problem. Nobody's the teetotaler.
Sure.
And yet you have to realize that there's levels of caution that need to happen in that environment, because there's guys like yourself
right.
and there's
sure.
real friends and brothers you have that have struggles. And I don't want to be, you know, that is, the, I mean, Paul doesn't want to be a stumbler.
Sure,
I don't want to be a
yeah,
stumbling
yeah.
block to people.
Yeah, sure.
And knowing that there's certain things you just got to stay away from.
Sure.
Is wisdom.
Right.
You know? All right. So you went down in Florida, it looked like recently, and got some buddies down there. And
yeah.
DuQuoin State Fairgrounds, chasing turtles and snakes and yeah. all that kind of stuff somehow yeah. turns into like hanging out with alligators. So, like, how does that? And I'd ask you all right now to push pause. I'll put Garrett's Instagram handle in the show notes. Go follow him on Instagram and you can see what I'm talking about here. But I mean, I'm like following along, you know, yeah. watching. So how'd that happen?
So I met Mike. He's one of my best friends, which I was, you know, telling you before the show started. And we met through social media. We just like, he's like the Florida version of me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And just besides, he's got alligators and I got snakes and turtles down here. I wish I had alligators here.
Okay, yeah.
But we met through social media and then we ended up meeting up and met up at a gym. And like, it was like.
So he was a fighter too?
Yeah. So yeah, he's been fighting. He was in the Marines. Yeah. Solid dude. We
Black
met
Lord.
yeah he's got a pretty similar story to myself.
Okay.
Yeah. And we met up at the gym, man. It was just like we like shook hands and it was like we'd known each other for we were born, man. You know what I mean? It was just like you don't get the relationship like that very often in your That's life cool. You know what it is?
Yeah.
And we almost talk every day, you
okay.
know what I mean?
Awesome.
I'll be on talking about Reformed theology at like 11 o'clock at night on FaceTime, you
That's
know
cool.
It's cool. Yeah, it definitely is. So I just built a relationship with him, and from there, you know, like the brotherhood there, which I talked about too, he's got Brawler Creek Ranch, which is, I mean, it really is for discipleship and sharing the Lord, you know, just a means. And then he's got Project Savior Outdoors, which is geared towards veterans and first responders, where they kind of sponsor those guys and take them on hunts and then plug them into a community night,
okay.
which, you know, started small. And like the last video he sent me, there's 90 men.
That's awesome.
And they, you know, do jiu-jitsu and lift weights and eat together and then do a Bible
what
study
church
together.
Is he a part of that?
He's 1122.
He's 1122.
Yeah, Joe B. Martin.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So through that, I just built a relationship with him. Like he asked me to come help him sometimes guide hunts, which I would go down there way more if I could. But, you know, with my children here, stuff like that, like I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, so, but with that, like because of that, I would, if I could take my kids with me, or if I didn't have kids, like I would be there in a heartbeat, you know what
right.
I mean? But I, you know, I feel like, and have confirmation, like God is like, we'll do it here, like build that community here in Southern Illinois, because
yeah.
it's, I mean, you can see like, I think it's probably all over, like that men need community, it's probably
Absolutely.
All over, but you know, the gym, the everywhere I go, man. And that's something that's happened to me recently. Just my walk with the Lord, as in, it doesn't matter where I go. Like if I might go watch live music somewhere
okay.
and somebody's coming to me, and I think it's because they see my stuff online. And I think that I used to be able to tell you the right answer. Like I could tell you the right answer biblically, but I don't know if I always believed it.
Okay.
No, I believe it.
Now,
I believe it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So with that, I think that people see the videos and the stuff that I make, like I believe it. You know what I mean? It's genuine. I believe it and it's true to me.
Yeah.
So because of that rawness.
Glory to God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So because of that rawness, people like reach out to me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where I'm at. You know what I mean? I could be at live music and somebody's coming to talk to me for 2 hours about something that they got going on.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And knowing you as well, I think knowing that you've lived a little bit.
Sure.
You've had some,
yeah.
I mean, valleys. You walked through some stuff.
Yeah.
And done some dumb stuff like
right, sure.
All of us have.
Yeah.
I think that there's people that's compelling.
Sure.
You know, to hear this guy. Like he's making it.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of guys that just don't make it.
Right.
And they don't come out the other side.
Yeah.
And to see somebody that comes out the other side of that and is now doing well.
Sure.
That's compelling, I think, to people as well.
Right.
So how are you going about building this then? Because you've heard about the Least Talk About Miracle of Jesus, haven't you?
The Least Talk?
The Least Talk About Miracle of Jesus.
No, what's that?
He was in his 30s and he had 12 friends.
Yeah.
So, stage alive.
You know, I don't even know if he has 12 friends. I think it's like a couple.
Yeah.
That's
three. The others were like,
yeah.
These guys, my guys. James and John.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
How are you going about that? Because I think I know you're doing it, doing some work down at Rise.
Yeah.
And how do you build that community?
Right. So me and Mike are always in the talks about, you know. Mike the Florida guy, yeah. So of just like being able to implement something like that, maybe even something, you know, that has something to do with his nonprofit.
Okay.
That's always in the talk. I mean, man, we're throwing around ideas all the time. You know, how can we do this and bring, you know, and avenues to bring people to the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
But with that being said, yeah, I am bringing jiu-jitsu and striking to Rise Performance 618 in Anna.
Okay.
And really, like, I prayed. I got my black belt from Tom DeBlass in April. And since then, you know, I've been in prayer.
Jiu-jitsu,
yes, sir. Okay. And since then, you know, I've always wanted to have my own gym. But just a lot of stuff going on. And I was randomly driving through Anna. And I hadn't been to Rise, and I saw it and I was like, hey, I'm going to stop in and just do like a day pass.
Okay.
And the owner came over and started talking to me and he knew who I was from fighting and said that they had brought jiu-jitsu in there before, but the coaches weren't consistent. You know what I mean? And so I was like, well, I'd be maybe interested in if you want to try to work something out, you know, that's meet a couple times and see, you know, what we can come up with. And man, it worked out. Like it seems like it's
students right now is what you're doing.
So November is what we're gonna start. Okay. We're gonna have kids and adults, and so it'll be two jiu-jitsu classes and then an adult jiu-jitsu class and then a striking class, probably a couple days a week, and then open mat on the weekend. But it was just one of those things that their mission is the same.
Okay.
Right. And that was the most important thing to me, because I think, you know, do not be unequally yoked with a unbeliever. I think that applies not only to marriage, but also
business.
Yeah, life. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and we're equally yoked.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, they, you know, they got like homeschool programs and stuff like where they're reading the scriptures and then lifting weights and stuff like that. And they're doing Bible studies on Wednesday. So, and it's like, it's a perfect facility. They got everything you need to bring in something exactly like Mike's got.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like it's coming. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Good. Did you remember Joey Hawkins?
Yeah, I just talked to him the other day.
Oh, you did? Yeah, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
He left a big hole in this area because he had a lot of influence,
right,
strongly and
right,
stuff, and he had a really cool community he was building there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that area is ripe for that.
Right.
I'd be a part of it, but I wouldn't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah, I hear you. Good
and,
idea.
Yeah, I got that problem, you know, a lot.
And sure.
It is neat, though, to see that and to see you doing that, because the skills that God's given you to,
right,
be able to use that and
sure,
it honors the Lord. And I think that's, you know what you're good at.
Right.
And you want to use that in the way God would have you use it. And I think that's going to be blessed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are wanting to honor the Lord truly.
Right.
We don't honor the Lord to receive blessings,
right,
because we're after that sort of thing. But when we honor the Lord, God has a way of taking care of us and also bringing fruit. You know,
right,
that there's principles of life of sowing and reaping. And, you know, we've all experienced making stupid decisions and reaping stupid results.
Sure.
But we've also all experienced God's mercy and grace that,
right,
even though we've done stupid stuff, God's been faithful.
Absolutely.
And then when we're doing the right things, when you put the hand to the plow, there's fruit that grows.
Right.
And to see I'm excited.
Yeah, one of my favorite verses was like, I don't, it, maybe it's my life verse, I don't know, but first seek the kingdom of God and the rest of these things will be added to you.
Yeah.
Matthew 6:33, because I remember like first reading that verse, and what I used to do was like make the scriptures about me, like, okay, well, if I go after God, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's going to give me everything that I want, which is pretty common in America now, right?
Right, right.
But something changed there, which again, kind of like sobriety, like God just did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like where I have the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to actually seek God first,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? All my decisions and everything. And that's when I started all the things that I like kind of chased.
Yep.
Are happening to me now, and I'm not chasing them.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
So, for guys listening in, just a way of encouragement, you know, people are in different stages of life and everything like that.
Sure.
But before we wrap up, it's been cool just talking with you and hearing your story. By way of encouragement, what do guys need to hear that are out there living their life and, you know, they're in the work and in all the responsibilities of parenting and life?
Right.
And maybe they're just feeling, you know, just running the middle of life, feeling not overly excited about life, but just what could you do to give a shot of courage to guys that may be a word of encouragement?
For me, I would say, you know, if we're speaking to believers who are struggling, Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Mm-hmm. Because for me, that was, I mean, even now, like I know that from experience, like depending on who I hang out with, I can see myself like backsliding if it's people who aren't encouraging me or pointing me towards the scriptures or pointing me towards Christ.
Okay.
So I think like the best thing that you can do for a man is have accountability with other men and just walk through life together. Because
it's good.
Being alone, like we all know that, like being alone is when your mind starts to wander.
Right.
And the devil wants you isolated, because that's when he's going to start picking you off. Because I always use the analogy with the pride of lions. And if a pride of lions is going after a pack of water buffalo, what mm-hmm. they do is, one, they pick out the weakest one,
okay.
but they isolate it and then attack
yeah.
it. Yeah, so they pick it off from the herd, right? And then they attack.
Right.
Same thing with brothers, man. Like
yeah.
you're strong in numbers, and then you start to get isolated over here, and that's when like the devil start working your mind.
So good church, Christian brotherhood. Have guys, they'll fight for you.
Absolutely.
You fight. Okay, non-Christian, they're listening in because they're like you, they're a right. fan, they've been following you, and somehow they made their way to this episode. You have an opportunity. They're non-Christian, and they're listening in. What do they need to hear?
And so I, for a long time, I would say, I thought, you know, I wore a Christian necklace and a Christian, had a cross tattoo, and I would have said, you know, I would say, we all know that we got something that we need to work on, right? Grab a Bible. Get a Bible, start to just learn about who Jesus is. And from there, faith comes from hearing Romans. Mm-hmm. So it literally, it's hard to even explain, because, you know, I think it's in, is it Philippians or Corinthians where Paul says he gives you a peace that transcends all understanding.
Peace that passes all.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to explain until to somebody that doesn't haven't experienced that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you hear people all the time like, well, they're shoving a Christianity down our throat. Like, no, like I want you to have that.
Yeah. That's
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing this because like, I think that I'm right. I do think it's the truth. Right. But from where my heart was to where it is, like, I want you to have that, bro.
I want you to experience.
You know what I'm saying? So for all the people who are, you know, on the fence or don't know that are listening to this, like, I would just read, just start reading the Bible. And I think that God, you know, God does the rest there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if guys are interested in that and they reach out, or can they reach out to you?
On yeah, Instagram absolutely.
Or something like
yeah,
that. Say, hey, man, give me some pointers. You can yeah. reach out to me as well.
Sure.
Man, go get a Bible and start reading. I always encourage people to start reading John. John is a book about evangelism, basically.
Yeah.
And it's telling people about Christ, that he is the Lord, he's the Messiah, and he's God, the God-man. And there's... Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are pretty serious claims.
Yeah.
And if you're reading the Gospel of John, you get into the Bible, you're face to face with, you know, Jesus is who he says he is or is not.
Right.
And I can't be on the fence about this.
Sure.
And I'm either going to go all in or I'm going to just, you know, reject this completely.
Right.
And you know, what Garrett's saying, what I'm saying is we want you to know the Lord.
Yeah,
we want you to repent of your sins and say that I've been living the wrong way and turn to Jesus and trust in him and be saved from your sins, be saved from the penalty of sin, which is death and judgment from God, which has eternal consequences. And you can find life in Christ, and there's joy, and it doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. I mean, walking with the Lord doesn't make everything easy in life, but man, we want you to have what we know.
Absolutely.
What we experienced.
We're come train.
Yeah.
Come train. Yeah. You know, I'm going to share the gospel there too.
So. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So if people are interested, where can they find out more information?
My Facebook is just Garrett Gross. Instagram is at official Garrett Gross.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll put those links in the show notes.
Yeah.
Garrett, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for coming on the
show. Thank you.
Long overdue. Glad I got to do this.
Absolutely, man.
Good deal.
It was awesome.
Thanks.